Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Why don't you talk to Sam about it?
About this?
Mm-hmm.
I did. He says, well, that's interesting, but it's not my department. Which means he doesn't think there's anything, just like Dr. Lapp and you.
Well, there's not much. A mystery that's been translated...
A mystery that didn't sell has been translated into a very odd assortment of languages. Turkish, but not French. Arabic, but not Russian or German. Dutch.
Spanish?
Yes. Yeah. The Wall Street Journal.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Well, hello and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 630. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Nothing helps him think harder and faster than a hot street pretzel done away.
Hot street pretzels coming up. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, it feels like it's been at least 3 days of the Condor since it was 1975. Sorry, no way to hide that weird-ass title in my intro. Kind of like that weird-ass Max von Sydow 70s mustache. Look at that face. It's a great face, but it's never been to space China, except when it goes all Ming the Merciless 5 years later in Flash Gordon. Come on, Robert Redford. Just try to phone freak that Mingo phone. I dare you. Hello? Yes, this is Booby Slave. Oh, you have Booby Hostage? See, we aren't so different after all, you and me. Episode 68 of Film Sack. That's some Film Sack inside film facts. Some Film Sacks? Film Sack Sacks. Film Sacks. Did I write that right?
Yeah, you got
it. I missed
it.
A couple of words in my intro. Anywho, I'm so tired I can't think. See? Just too tired. If only I could take a little hostage nap where I'm the big spoon with a gun and you're the little spoon trying to get away. But you don't, because I'm charming in a, is it really rape if he looks like 1970s Robert Redford with glasses? Yes. The answer is always yes. But the night is young. Now excuse me. I got to go judo chop the mailman before he ventilates my insides. Would you like some hot coffee? To the crotch. Ha! Condor away! Randy? When things quiet down, you're a very sweet man to be with.
Oh, the one part of the movie I could never get over. That stupid romance. All right. Well done. Also with us today, Randy, Robert Redford has more hair in one of his sideburns than the three of us on our entire heads combined, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian, or as I've renamed you, Hassenpfeffer, Sphinx, and Brian with a Y. Thank you for coming to this training course on how to survive being pursued by the deadliest government organization that ever existed and look great doing it. I'm your trainer, Ronald. Yeah, I know. The names are super dumb. I don't know, guys. It's really not our strong suit, okay? Like, We go with whatever names. I graduated from the academy with a guy named Dirk Longknife. Swear to God, he ends up getting the code name Subway. Imagine going, okay, all right. You came here to be trained on escaping in the city, and I'm going to guarantee that you do as long as you follow my three rules. Number one, kidnap some lady. That's right. If you're going to die anyway, you may as well swing for the fences sexually. Yeah. We have actual data that shows 15% of women who are kidnapped by an agent on the run end up having sex with that agent kind of consensually. Number two, wear the most noticeable, stylish clothing imaginable, even though you can't go home and change clothes. I think French and Italian outerwear that goes perfectly with those blue jeans will just appear for you when you're on the run. Yep. But I mean, that may only work if you're literally the sexiest person alive. Number three, interact with the CIA as much as possible. I mean, it's just the old rope-a-dope. They're looking for you. You're trying to escape them. They have guns. You have a trail of clues that lead right to your hideout with the aforementioned kidnapped victim. They will never expect you to call them on the phone every hour on the hour. Call the CIA while you're banging the kidnapped lady. That'll show them.
Man. I think we got a theme going today. Let's start.
I think we do.
Let's try for number three. Hey, it's Brian. He wishes his kitchen cupboards had huge 5-inch round knobs like Faye Dunaway's Ibbot.
I'm in the middle of 3D printing those as we speak. Let's get to the music here. And this is, I'll just say it. It's Blondie.
This is a major.
I'm in the phone booth. It's the one by Central Park. Some bastards killed my friends and left me in the dark. I was out to lunch, now I'm sure I'm his mark. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. You ask me if I'm damaged, what the hell do you mean? I'm standing on the street in a sport coat and blue jeans. It's always casual Friday when all you do is scream. Can't you bring me in? Oh, don't you know where I've been? What's my designation again? Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone.
I asked the operator, she told me where you dwell. I'm on a phone that I stole from Mountain Bell. This condor's not extinct, now you can go to hell.
I'll leave you hanging on the telephone.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Wow.
That's a rock.
That is 2 minutes of instrumental in that song.
Really?
There's a lot.
Interesting.
That's amazing. Really.
It's like a 2.5-minute song, and I think is more than half of the song.
Wow.
So, Scott, he did kind of go along with what Brian and I started.
I went along with the goofy phone thing as opposed to the let's alternate between my goofy photographs and us having sex.
I had some phone in my intro, but I could have used more phone freaking. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, the phone freaking in this was something special, man. Jeez, Louise. Yeah. We'll get into all that when we talk about 3 Days of the Condor this week's episode. And this week we have a fake Fletcher, but it's not a robot. It's Kit London's husband. Listener of the program, Kit London and her husband. I forgot his name. He has a nickname. Brian gave it to me.
He has a nickname, and it's in the Discord. He used to be on. Used to call an instance. His name is Ulrich.
Ulrich,
who you usually know him as.
That's right. I remember that name, and he's perfect for this. So let's let him read it. Here is our fan read intro for 3 Days of the Condor.
1975's 3 Days of the Condor. A bookish CIA researcher in Manhattan finds all his co-workers dead and must outwit those responsible until he figures out who he can really trust.
Man, that, you know.
I see why Kit London stays with him.
No.
I want to do whatever he tells me to do.
Yeah.
Right.
There was just enough echo that I thought bathroom. And it was, I always love that. I really appreciate
I like
that.
A good bathroom recording. I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to turn that down if
bathroom, car, all places to hide.
Yeah.
When you're doing something that you don't want other people to hear.
Yeah. And quick rules to how this happens. When somebody sends something in, if they are first, they get played.
First.
Oh, really? Now it's first. Last week it was best. Now it's first.
Last week it was best. This week it was first. This happened to also be great, but The trick is that so many are coming in, I don't have time to check for best.
Right.
So, oh, wow.
So we're going first, and this one was first. So thank you for that. We appreciate
first
it.
First and best.
I'm sure you would go to second if first was just rotten.
Oh, no. First is terrible. I'll move down the line. Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
All right. Yeah, you're going for crap. the first best one.
There you go. Yeah. And that all because right. that I can do, because then I don't have to like hear them all to know. I just go, oh, one is bad. Two is okay. How about three? Ooh, three is amazing. And then I play three.
Yeah.
So them's the rules. Live with them. It's 3 Days of the Condor, directed by Sidney Pollack. He also made three cameos in this, two phone calls and a guy on the street was in this. And this stars your Robert Redford, your Faye Dunaway, related mm-hmm. to no relation to Brian Dunaway, and Cliff Robertson, mm-hmm. Soon to be Uncle Ben one day in the Spider-Man universe. So there's those guys. Right.
So we kind of like fell into this one a couple of years ago when we did Towering Inferno, right?
Yeah.
This was like the obvious next movie when you're looking at a lot of these people's like, you know, lists of stuff they did. Mm-hmm. And then I realized it was a Christmas movie and I've never seen it. I don't think any of us have ever seen it. Yeah. Never.
It's a Christmas movie in the way that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. People don't forget.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly.
I don't even know if I'd even say that.
No, that's exactly right.
I think that's right. It's set during Christmas.
It's set at Christmas and you hear Christmas music.
Christmas stuff is going on around them.
Literally, like Christmas caroling at the end is supposed to mean something. You can tell me what it was.
This movie talks a lot.
Does he ever use a Christmas implement to help him get out of the situation?
Oh, that's an interesting point. Hold on. Okay, I sway. I would like to give the defense a moment at the stand. I think that's a factor I hadn't really thought of. If you use Christmas shit in your movie,
well,
and not just hear it going on.
If she wasn't out Christmas shopping, would he have kidnapped her? And he couldn't have made it through this movie without her.
Right. Yeah. That that was like a big pivotal thing, although it was very random, right? It's just picking a person in the city.
He could have easily just picked somebody up who was just shopping.
But it wouldn't have been Faye Dunaway. So
it would have
you know.
Been Faye Dunaway.
Mm. Yeah. And there was no parade Dunaway that he went through. He hid in a store at one point. He was outside buying a pretzel and hearing.
So let's compromise and call it a December movie. I'm glad we watched it in December.
It
was very December-ish.
Oh yeah, for sure. It had that feeling. They filmed it in New York. They filmed it actually in winter, but it was set in the fall prior to it was set in Christmas. It was filmed in the fall. That's what it was.
Right.
So it wasn't filmed around Christmas, but
so there's this trivia about the film crew going around and pulling the leaves off the trees to make them look like they've already gone
more lonely.
Autumn.
Mm-hmm. Pluck.
And then apparently Robert Redford was concerned. He had some concerns.
Sure. Robert's such a thoughtful guy. They reflected what they were doing in this film and Faye Dunaway's photography and her character, right? I was trying to understand. Mm. Like I said just a few minutes ago, this movie talks a lot, but doesn't really have much to say. And that's not a bad thing, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, this is considered by, you know, this is my first viewing, but I had heard of this film before. And the last time I'd heard about it was when I heard that Robert Redford's also in it, but the Winter Soldier was an homage to this and other movies of its day, but that kind of 70s spy thriller stuff. This movie is like a direct inspiration for the writing of an MCU film.
Yeah.
And the fact that they got him back to play ultimately a bad guy, spoilers, is maybe even a sign of that. But there's a thing in the 70s where spy thrillers had a certain vibe to them. And I think this maybe is the one with the most vibe. Like it's the closest we've got.
This thing is vibing hard.
Of all the ones we've seen, this one feels like the most 70s spy thriller
Right. Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is look at Sydow and go, okay, he's wearing a trench coat, those really large black rim glasses and a mustache and a hat. He is, you know, he is 70s CIA operative gone rogue or whatever.
And you'll never see a more good looking, maybe Butch Cassidy in Sundance Kid, maybe, but you'll never see a better looking Robert Redford.
He looks so good here. He's so yummy.
Look, I'm a dude and I like I like ladies, okay? I'm not a guy who is attracted to the male whatever, okay, generally speaking. But Robert Redford in his prime, good Lord.
That I got to say, Faye Dunaway also looking very attractive in this film. Not surprising that we have attractive people in movies, so don't flip out or nothing. But yeah, I thought Faye Dunaway, this is one of the more... I'm going to say softer side to what she does. Usually she's very prickly and she's kind of prickly here, but she's also shows her vulnerability. And I don't think I've really seen that in a Faye Dunaway movie personally.
Well, she managed to stand out from the usual, you know, somehow. Yeah. And I mean, this is the work of filmmakers, right? It's not just an actress showing up, you know, and somehow being a standout. But yeah.
great shots.
What I couldn't believe, having not seen this movie, what I couldn't believe until I was halfway through it, and I just suddenly realized, my gosh, stylists working with Brad Pitt have just ripped this off for Brad Pitt's entire career.
Oh, yeah.
Like they have just done everything they can to make him look precisely and sound and walk exactly like this guy.
Yeah.
If I could feather my hair like he does in this film, I would be so
I would have kept it if I could have feathered my hair like that.
Yours was so flat and long. That's why you shaved it, right? That was
exactly. It was just too luxurious and shiny and full of body. Just couldn't get it to feather.
Right, that's right. Pump this.
One of the things I like about this movie, Sidney Pollack directed it. He made a lot of great movies, comedies, dramas, everything kind of in between. But what I always liked about him was this guy was just as good an actor, maybe even better than he was a director. Every time he'd show up in something, even shitty stuff, like I didn't like Eyes Wide Shut, but I liked him in it. It was a small role, but anytime Sidney Pollack did an acting job, I would go, ooh, more of this guy. And then he would be too busy directing. So he's really not in that much stuff. But as FilmSack films go, he's one of my favorite director who also acts, and I know there's a few of them. But
this is our third. Yeah. This is our third Pollack directed film. We previously saw The Electric Horseman and The Firm. Hard to not think about The Electric Horseman several times in this movie.
Yeah. Sure.
And we were talking about him acting. Wow, it's a huge list.
A lot of stuff.
Did we watch Talented Mr. Ripley or
we have not for film sake.
We have not. Okay.
No, we should. Why wouldn't we do that? We should do that. We did The Firm. He directed The Firm, and I think he was in a part, acted maybe in a bit of The Firm.
I gotta say though, for my money, M. Night Shyamalan is the most fun.
You fun like him cameos? As a cameo?
Yeah, they're just like they're so cheesy and in your face. It's more, like you know, lots of times you're like,
I feel like Hitchcock really set the bar high. Well, with like
but how many Hitchcock films we watched versus Shyamalan movies? Well,
can we call what Quentin Tarantino does a cameo, or is it just he just is
shoehorned himself into himself a movie?
Is it a cameo?
I don't know. He's
I don't know. I don't think it's a cameo. I think cameo implies brief. Brief appearance,
brief unnecessary,
right?
Not meant to move the plot forward at all.
Yeah, and usually you don't notice it. Like in this one,
in Pulp Fiction,
in this one, Pollack walks by very quickly as they're walking home, and says hello or something to her, and you don't even really see his face. Later, he's on the phone. You don't associate his voice with his face. Like you would never go.
And then he's in the cab yelling at him, and I'm trying to find the quote because it's so. You know, it's like, hey, get out of the way. It makes sense, right? And then he follows it up with something weird, and I'm trying
this
to
movie
find
has so much dialogue. Like I said, it likes to talk a lot, and it's not really saying anything. It's just a reflection of what was going on not very far removed from Watergate, right? When we all kind of
We were all in the middle of that. Yep, for sure. Real quick here, but I found the clip. I'll just play it now. We'll play it early. Good, okay. So here's him in the thing.
What the hell are you doing, Mac?
Where
are you sleeping
at
night?
Do you sleeping at night?
Okay.
There you go.
Mac. No one calls anyone Mac anymore.
No.
Bring it back. Bring back more Mac. Yeah.
Bring it back to Mac.
I'm into it. This is also known for being the first the only feature film, not first, but first and only feature film to be filmed inside the World Trade Center. They had scenes in there that never happened before or after.
And it feels like I'm guessing really the only place they did any filming was in the lobby when he's kind of sneaking in and that sort of thing. Because the offices, there was no reason to do office shots in the World Trade Center.
Why would you going up a bunch of floors and, you know, why would you want to deal with that for your production?
When you can create an office that looks however you want it to look in a, on a sound stage.
Yeah. Cliff Robertson and his weird haircut up there, man.
I really got the feeling that Sidney Pollack and the assistant director, Michael Haley, and just, the cinematographer, Owen Roisman, really love New York City. I just got that feeling. Mm-hmm. And that's not an easy thing to convey, right? Because you can so easily make me feel like New York City is dirty or ugly or what have you.
Well, especially then, right? Because then that's what we were all meant to believe in the 70s and 80s. Yeah, New York was a mess all the time.
It was almost the highest crime rate at that point, right? It was, if it wasn't there, it was getting close.
Yeah, it was like, and so everything I ever saw is just like Randy's saying, it's like just dirty and grimy and awful and trash in the streets and just all that sort of thing. And this movie's not about that. This movie's more like, nah, it's all right. It's, there's some intrigue and stuff, but it's not all dirty and gross here.
By the way, we just saw an Owen Roisman photographed film, The Exorcist. And so I did actually think to myself, wow, this kind of looks like The Exorcist. I wonder if it's the same cinematography.
Had a lot of Washington, D.C. shots in The Exorcist, right? Wasn't that the whole take? Hit some here too as well?
My feeling was that he was trying at the time to give you this sense of less color when you're looking, like, because it somehow feels more real when there's less color. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense, because life is not quite as colorful as the movies had moved to, right?
We do it so much more now. We take especially deep blues, darker blues and stuff, and turn cities into a certain kind of hue just to create a vibe that the movie's going for. And I think this movie did it with just less saturation.
Yeah, agreed. And man, I loved the character, Faye Dunaway's character's place.
Her apartment was awesome.
I wanted to live there. Sign me up.
Yeah, but her mantelpiece sucked. That thing was falling apart. Every time
but that huge ass lamp with the shade on it, man, good Lord, that's the biggest lamp I've seen in decades.
It's funny because I'm watching it going, okay, a 60-inch flat screen would go right there. And, I'm thinking about all the modern shit you would do to it today, and there's none of that in there, of course. Just a dial-up phone and all that. But
imagine how big your lamps can be if you don't have a big screen TV. They can just be, unlimited size.
Can I get right to the trope alert?
Well, let me ask you this. Oh, sure. Let me ask you this before we get off that, because I want to ask you one thing about that director of photography. Do you think he walked on set, saw Max von Sydow, and went, hey, you look 20 years younger? Because the last time he saw him, he looked like, wrinkly old fart priest man. And it must have been a bit of a shock to the system. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. Where are we going here with the trope?
Oh, my gosh. We're in that apartment.
Yeah.
And we got one of my favorite tropes ever.
Where is it? There you go.
Apparently, when you need it, you could just turn on the TV and the news is about you.
How great
is that?
Yeah. Right into it. What time did you start? 6. Let's see what the first story is. Hot. Right. Not the weather.
Nope.
It's me.
You could tune in at 6:17 and it'll be about you. You could tune in at 6:25 and it'll be about you.
Yeah.
And there'll be at least 20 minutes of him shaking his arm after sleeping like that with the hostage nap. There's no way I could sleep like that with somebody tied up. No way, man.
Well, my favorite one. Version of that trope too is when somebody says, oh my god, turn on your TV and jump to the news, they're talking about you. And it's the beginning of the news story about them, like, they start the news story and they're restarting the news story. Once again, we're looking for Bill who's loose on the streets, and here's a picture of him.
It's weird. The movie is 3 days of the Condor. I just now saw this like just now. The book's called 6 days of the Condor. We're missing 3 days.
They had a shortener for the movie. Yeah, exactly. And I couldn't tell. I was like, oh, they must going to have three additional days of the Condor where they're ending this. Will they print it? Will
deluxe, they? Mm. Deluxe edition is right. An extra 3 days, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they even had a sequel all lined up, but they couldn't get everybody into it for timing and stuff. And by then, Rob Redford was like being pulled 400 different ways, and they decided not to do it. But that's kind of a bummer. She even says, Faye Dunaway, that is, in her autobiography, she mentions that while she and Redford had a very good working relationship on set, the two actors did not speak much outside of scenes, as Redford used most of his free time prepping all the president's men. He had work to do for the next year, man. He had stuff to get done.
Yeah, he was serious. He like he was, he was taking this movie serious.
Yeah.
Like he was trying to get things done.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting shit
next
done.
Next scene.
Yeah. Come on, let's keep it up, people. Let's keep a nice pace.
All right, I made the love. Let's go on to the next thing.
Yeah, I can't afford to buy half of Utah if we don't hurry up and do this, so I can buy it and call it a thing and have a ranch up there so big that 400 people could live on it. All right.
Is that what he did?
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to tell us more about that?
Well, the whole Sundance thing is obviously infamous around here. Yeah. The Sundance Film Festival is his. It's his baby. The whole thing started with him. He named that area. It's called Sundance after him, naming it after his character. And he's a big time environmentalist. So he bought a ton of land and made it untouchable. In perpetuity, like as he passes it down through his family and stuff, and as after he goes, he'll ensure that nobody can do anything. Yeah, it's a big whoop over there, but it's also made everything up there very expensive. It's where Post Malone has one of his houses up there. Like a lot of rich people buy stuff up there, and it's pretty crazy. But it's up in the mountains, beautiful place. Sundance is gorgeous, but you know, this film festival's one of the top three film festivals in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all because Redford's a freaking psycho, man. He loves this stuff. He's into it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. We saw him at a Applebee's in Park City once.
Really? No. Wait. You saw him at Applebee's, or you think you saw him at Applebee's?
No, we know it was him. Oh, okay. We're 100% sure it was him. And it was just him and some dude chilling, eating. Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot of people who look like Redford. That's definitely got to be him.
He has a very specific look. And my favorite thing he ever did, I shouldn't say ever, because there's a lot of great work behind that guy. But Sneakers is my favorite movie he ever did. That's my favorite movie. But my favorite performance may have been this thing where he's stuck on that boat in the ocean and can't get home. Does anyone remember the name of this thing?
Oh, yes. Open Water. But it's a sailboat.
Redford in a boat?
Redford in a boat. Yeah, man. I didn't want to have to look it up, and I'm going to have to look
All
it
is
up.
Lost. There it is. All is lost.
Lost.
2013.
Yeah.
It's not even that old. It's relatively recent-ish. Uh-huh. And the movie's unique in that there's very little dialogue. He doesn't really talk. He's by himself, and he's just trying to survive. And I was riveted, just completely riveted by that movie. And he still looked great even then. And that would have been about the time I saw him, was about 2013, 2014. And
in the Applebee's.
He's even handsome now. Like he's falling apart. He looks like his skin's about to slough off to the side or whatever. It doesn't matter. He's still just like.
It just started with a compliment.
Right. It did. It really did. It started and then it just slid right off his face. Just like the skin
right off
the
his face. But I just really like him.
I want to tell you about my second Robert Redford film. My first was The Sting, because my parents loved that movie. They made me watch it. It was a thing for my parents, and I think I think Robert Redford was my mom's like celebrity crush.
How
like
could you everybody. Not? Yeah,
and so I had to watch The Sting. I was forced to watch The Sting, and it was fine. It's a good movie.
You're better for it.
But then, guys, tell me one of you had this experience in high school where you were made to read and write a report on the most boring book for a high schooler that ever existed. And so you managed to get a friend to get your hands on the film, The Great Gatsby, and try to watch it instead of reading the book.
Yeah. You're talking about the old Great Gatsby. Take, you're not talking, you're talking about the Robert Redford Great Gatsby, not DiCaprio. Right. Yeah.
And not the there's a many of them though. McGuire. So not the 49 one, he would have been too young, right? Hold on.
Right. Yeah. This is Robert Redford as Jay Gatsby. And it had, Mia Farrow, Mia Farrow.
Okay.
And it is not good. But again.
I watched it at school. I remember that.
I'm comparing it to a book I didn't want to read, right? So
Sure.
It was okay. Like, you know, at least it was 2 hours and then you're done.
At least I had to read words. God.
Yeah.
Bless America.
No, it was that book specifically. And nowadays I'm like, what was wrong? What is wrong with teenagers?
The Great Gatsby is such a short book too.
Right. Nowadays I look at that book and I'm like, oh, is it really?
Oh yeah. I can read that.
I don't know why I've never looked at it, but I've always assumed it to be huge and I don't know why.
No. It's because it has great in the title. You're thinking, oh, Jesus, that's going to be.
So. Well, it just always, you know, I always thought, F. Scott Fitzgerald.
F that guy. Like, they dropped the F-bomb in this movie more than I thought would happen.
Oh, yeah, that was a number
for a 70s film, yeah.
Yeah, surprised me, too, and it was him mostly. I think two out of the three or four was him. And she
said, when Faye Dunaway says, a spy effer, I was like, whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mommy Dearest, slow down. What are you doing? Right.
I like how the character of Turner was offended when she said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this guy who reads fiction for a living and like translates and stuff, he was offended when she called herself spy effer after having just effed the spy. It was so bizarre. Like the look on his face, I love that so much.
It was a good scene.
I forgot how many movies he directed. Well, he only did 10, but they're big ones for me. I think River Runs Through It and Quiz Show are two of my favorite old 90s movies. Love Quiz Show. My gosh, I could watch Quiz Show right now. That's such a great movie.
No, don't do it. We're doing a podcast.
Horse Whisperer is okay. Legend of Bagger Vance is all right. But then there's a bunch of stuff none of us know about. Lions for Lambs, don't know what that is. The Conspirator, don't know. Company You Keep, dunno. And that's it. He stopped. He's like, I'm out.
I'm gonna go build something in the desert or wherever it is.
Well, he was already doing that. No desert. Okay. It's like Snowy Mountain.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know you that's all y'all it. Have.
You should yeah.
It's like extreme conditions. It's here's an extreme condition.
Yeah, it really is something up there. We should go up there if we're ever together up there.
Totally. That'd be fun. Let's do that.
But of all his movies, and I know I said Sneakers is my favorite, but The Natural holds a special little spot in my heart. Just a little
this
bit.
This may be my favorite Redford movie now.
This one right here, 3 days of the Condor?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You used another 3 days, 6 days.
I kind of liked it.
I remember really liking Electric Horseman. I need to revisit that. I wonder how much I like it.
Yeah, that's what now? Probably 5 years since we saw that or something.
I felt like I felt I remember feeling but
it didn't leave me with a lot of fond memories. I don't want to say like I didn't like it, but you know, you think about that movie, it's like, oh yeah, I remember him walking off into the distance on his
all
horse.
I can remember is a Christmas tree lit up horse. That's all with the guy with the Christmas tree suit on. That's all I remember.
The namesake.
Well, yeah. I want you to know, good luck remembering anything really specific about this movie in the future.
Yeah.
It is really dense, and the actual plot is all off-screen stuff. Like you're hearing the descriptions of subterfuge. And that's it. And it's like it buzzes right past you really, really fast. Ultimately, someone was trying to start a war and justify the U.S. military invading the Middle, or maybe just the CIA going to the Middle East. I don't know. It's that kind of story. And what I came away from this movie with is the story of Turner and Kathy. Like those two characters are so much more interesting to me than everything happening around Cliff Robertson and Max von Sydow.
And all of that was intentional. I've read some interviews with the director and also Robert Redford, and they were all talking about people want to ascribe all of this political meaning to it. And they're like, no, this is just our reaction to how everybody was feeling confused after Watergate. And, you know, it just, they just like, I don't even know, you know, what are institutions? Can we even trust the press? They even kind of leave it like that.
It was a real pivot point for everybody. I think collectively people were like, whoa, wait a minute. I can't trust the government because I didn't realize they were up to this kind of shit. And even if they've been up to that stuff since the beginning, it didn't matter. You were kind of naive until then. And then you weren't. And the movie really plays on that well. And I think some modern examples or more modern examples of it are also excellent. Do we even have the Bourne movies or the Bourne books
without this? That's what I kept thinking. I was like, holy shit, he is the Bourne identity.
Kind of,
he has his memory.
He's not hyper-trained in you know, fisticuffs or any of that. But he's got the whole, I don't know what's going on. Things are happening in dark, secluded places that no one knows about. And then what's that Will Smith, Gene Hackman thing?
Enemy of the State.
Enemy of the State, same deal. Yeah. Like, these, do those movies, I mean, maybe they exist, but do they exist in my head the way they would if it wasn't for films like this?
I think they're strongly influenced by this movie. This may not have been the first, but it was certainly a huge influence going forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did really well. It it was up for an Oscar for a couple things. One of them was editing, but it lost to Jaws.
That's tough. That's what Jaws is essentially known for. It's
that's a hard year, dude. That's like having Shawshank, Forrest Gump, and Pulp Fiction the same year. Like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. How do you pick?
Oh no, they're all so good.
I couldn't help wondering while watching this movie if Cormac McCarthy drew some of his villain from Anton Chigurh with glasses here.
Oh yeah, dude. That's cool.
Which actually is a bad thing. It's like my biggest complaint about the movie that it establishes this real interesting villain, and then when it finally, like, they keep coming together, Max von Sydow and Robert Redford keep coming together, and Robert Redford escapes. They come together, Robert Redford escapes, and then finally Max von Sydow catches him.
Yeah,
and then, no, different story. Oh, well, aren't you going to kill me? Nah, I'm not doing that now. That's
I'm not in a contract for that right now. I'm good.
Yeah, it just felt a little bit too, almost Deus Ex Machina.
But if it would have ended in the typical fisticuffs, gun shooty, he finally dies and falls over the edge of a building, I would have also been a little annoyed, because that's what all of these do. They all do.
Right, yeah. And yeah, like, all of a sudden, the guy who's only reading books, all of a sudden is like this... you don't want to have him at the end all of a sudden become super fighter kind of thing.
Yeah, that would have. I get where you're what you're saying, but I feel Randy, like, it would have been.
It was a fizzle. Like, it did end with like a I don't need to kill you now.
Because it wasn't just that turnabout. It was also and can I give you a ride to the train station? Yeah. Let's hop in.
Right.
But I like that because you were still going, I don't know, man. I don't know. Can I trust anybody right now? Maybe I can't. Maybe I can't. Yeah. I don't know.
You know what? This reminded me of another Sydow movie that Brian Dunaway loves and watches almost weekly, I think. it's a movie called Minority Report. And
I
really hope you're going to say Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon. Both.
This has four. All of the leading actors in this movie have won Oscars, with one exception. And that's Max von Sydow. Nominated twice. Really? Wow. Never won. I think he won an Emmy, though, for Game of Thrones, didn't he? For that weird tree man he was, or whatever his deal was. Anyway, but yeah, everybody else. Faye Dunaway, him. I think Robertson won something. John Houseman has an Oscar.
Yeah, for that Grey Poupon commercial.
He earned it.
Yeah, he earned it. It's not Grey Poupon, is it?
It's not. But it is hoity-toity rich. Like, it's easy to like lump all those into one.
Yeah. Wait, who did? Now I'm confused. Who did? Who?
It was an investment firm.
Smith-Barney.
Yeah, Smith-Barney. But who did?
He ruined it.
Who did the
mustard
one?
There was no particular person with the Grey Poupon. It wasn't like a famous actor.
Okay.
No. You had your. What's his face? Rosebud with the Parmesan. Sell no wine before it's time. Wells.
I'm thinking of a commercial. He did Richard Mailer did a commercial once. He was sort of an actor. All right, never mind.
He was sort of an actor.
And then who's the other one I lump into that same category is the Intellivision guy. And I can't remember what his name was, but it was the skinny old British guy who's like, television is a very good game system for your home or whatever.
I don't know, but who wanted more story of the wheelchair bound operator?
The guy just answering the phone in front of the giant map.
I want to know more about him.
All of that stuff felt very like where they were meeting, and while the colors were very 1970s. It felt like the most fakish fake of
it
all.
It felt like learned to stop loving the Dr. Strangelove.
Perfect. But you know, most of that technology was still fairly new, especially in that type of deployment. And so it was
That especially came home to me when he goes into a hotel switchboard room and And it's a good thing he happens to be a telephone genius.
Yeah, that's what he did in the Corps, right? That was his whole thing.
They trained him how to switch phones, and he's going to use it to his advantage.
Knew what to ask the operator for a CNA.
Right? That room was probably quite real, right? They probably just went to a phone company, right? And filmed in a room with that stuff, and they told him, pinch this, take that off.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you jump back to the CIA. Are you
talking about the Faye Dunaway?
Right.
I knew it. Pinch this and take that off. Nice.
Anyway, you want to see my photos? I'm not showing anybody. It's pictures of my butthole. You want to see them?
We all know each other well enough for that yet.
We never found out that mystery. We're going to always wonder, but we all agree, right?
Right.
That what they were really talking about is her own first person vantage point on her pudendum.
It had to be something like that.
I was thinking some sort of nudity, but I wasn't quite thinking that specific.
Yeah, not pudendum. Not exactly that.
Not pudendum.
Right. I do love that word though.
Yeah. That's the thing in the back of a book, right? That
tells it's you the where pudendum. All the things. Yeah, it says, okay, by the way, this book you read.
Here are the sources. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's totally it. Tell your parents you learned what a pudendum is today.
And then they'll wash your mouth out with soap. And then,
next time you go to the library, just go up to the front desk and say, I'd like a book with a pudendum in it.
I'd like to see your pudendum.
See your pudendum, please. Thank you.
That's amazing. This was also notably the last Paramount film to regularly use the 1953 Canyon logo. Now, there are some later movies, though. Indiana Jones series uses it because they want to have that retro feel. A few others like that that are set in some older time. But this was your last chance to see the non-mountain thing.
And it's the best when Indiana Jones uses it. And it just connects right into the first thing you see in the film.
Yeah.
Whether it's the gong or the mountain.
That's the first time I recognized that was how you could do something, and love it ever since.
Yeah, I love that stuff. And I'm a big movie logo fan, not just the studios, but like production companies. Anytime Ridley Scott Free Thing comes up, or the guy's chasing the crow through the dark, that weird animation. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The watercolory looking smeary. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about the one we hate though, the one with the arrow that goes through all the.
Yes, the perspective screws me up. I spend the first part of the film not paying attention to the movie because I'm still thinking about that, the perspective on that damn arrow.
Right. You need to change that shit. It's terrible. It's freaking bad. Yeah. I was also going to say that Cliff Robertson, our future Uncle Ben, was in both The Twilight Zone and The Outer Limits.
Oh, really? Both?
He's tied the universes together then, Okay.
Yeah. I saw the Outer Limits episode I actually saw recently. I don't know which Twilight Zone he's in, but he did a lot of stuff. He was in a lot of old 50s beach movies. He was like kind of a heartthrob back then. And
oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, please tell me we're never going to watch any beach movies, right? We're just going to pretend like those don't exist, right? Oh,
we have to watch one. I feel like we've got to watch one because I've never seen any of like Beach Blanket Bingo and Ed Funicello and Frankie Avalon. We've got to.
I've seen them come on, and then I see me get up and turn the channel.
Yeah, you've seen that. Yeah, I agree with Ibbot. I think maybe get one under the belt to say that we touched the genre and moved on.
To check it off the list. Let's make it part of our hot action blanket summer.
You don't have to taste everything in the buffet, you know? I'm just saying. You don't have to.
Yes, we do.
I've got Gidget on our watch list.
I mean, you can see those.
Is it just plain Gidget, or is it Gidget
just
goes
the movie Gidget?
Okay.
I mean, listen to these characters in that beach blanket movie that you just mentioned. Listen to the names of these people. Of course, you have Frankie and Dee Dee. They're the main ones. But you have Eric Von Zipper. You got a guy named Bonehead, South Dakota Slim, Sugar Cane, Big Drop by Don Rickles plays Big Drop. Paul Lind is in it. He plays someone named Bullets.
Paul Lind?
Yeah, come on.
See?
Come on. We got to watch this.
And apparently,
kicking and screaming is how I will go.
You know what?
But I will go.
Either this or we watch.
I will go.
From Justin to Kelly.
I'd actually like to watch that, please.
Shut up. Really? It's like their version of that whole beach movie with the runner up and winner of American Idol.
But the problem, none of these are reviewed well. They're all like 5.5, 5.4.
They're all Frankie Avalon. Beach Blanket Bingo, Beach Party, and Bikini Beach are all Frankie Avalon.
Was Annette Funicello also part of this? She's in there, right?
looks like
I will only watch one of them if you can find a way that one of them is a spy.
This is just your way of bringing the story back to the
I want the B story to involve a comic relief that is a spy.
That doesn't sound that far-fetched. That sounds like something they might do.
I think you want From Here to Eternity, and I would sack that. I wouldn't mind sacking it.
I feel like we should. That's a classic, and I'm ashamed to say I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
Just seen that one scene of them rolling around on the beach having sex with the seaweed.
Yeah.
Which is now called
with the seaweed.
That spot is literally called From Here to Eternity Beach now.
Really?
For
like 40 years.
Good Lord. Of course it is. Yeah.
Good Lord. Right. Let's not name things after movies.
Can I just run down something about Cliff Robertson real quick?
Do it.
Sure.
Since we just got there. Did you know that he was like involved in a massive scandal in Hollywood?
No.
He,
Hollywood scandal?
Tell me more.
Right.
Two words. I can't believe you put together.
What?
So it was called the Columbia Pictures scandal. And in 1977, so this is like 2 years after this movie, he came across a check to himself that had a forged signature on it. And it was for work he hadn't performed. So he started asking around, and he ended up getting someone like the FBI involved.
Oh, Jesus.
And it turned out that the head of Columbia Pictures had been using forgeries to do embezzlement. And then he ends up getting convicted. That head of Columbia Pictures gets convicted and fired. And there was all this pressure on Robertson to keep quiet, and he refused. He and his wife spoke to the press when they were asked by Columbia Pictures not to. And as a result, all of Hollywood blacklisted him for like 5 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Huh.
You know what? With great power comes great responsibility.
Let me tell you, there's something we all know about Hollywood. There is some very creative financial stuff every time. It's like, oh, our movie didn't make any money. We took a loss. Sure. All right. Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Making up numbers. All right.
But I don't know.
Whatever. Ishtar.
Yeah. When cooking your books is also illegal, but doing stuff that just sort of says, well, we shifted A to B, so it looks like we did this or made money or didn't make money. None of that's isn't illegal, but straight up forgery. I mean, I'm glad
checks are almost a thing of the past. Checks caused a lot of problems.
No, checks are the worst, dude. I hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we be done from now on? Be done with checks forever?
Yeah.
That'd be great. I'm happy to let those lie.
Check
them die.
Put it on our future list. Beach blanket bingo. All right.
Sorry.
What else was I going to say? Oh, I don't like the, I'm sorry. We have a dual MCU connection here.
Oh,
okay. Obviously Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben is now considered part of the MCU because of the flashback stuff they did in the last one, right?
Sure. Sure.
And so that makes it official, not just Sony's thing.
Or whatever they called it.
Yeah.
Nexus event.
Nexus event. There you go.
Cannon point.
And then Redford was in the Winter Soldier.
Sure.
So you got two MCUers in here. That's pretty good.
Yeah, for an older movie, like, you know, new movies, it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, well, here's, you know, Thanos and his girlfriend, Scarlet Witch, and they're doing it while Nick Fury tries to kill him kind of thing.
Yep.
I'm describing the remake of Old Boy, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
But for older movies, it's a lot more difficult.
And I also, when the scene came up with Max von Sydow doing minis, I thought of you because I thought, well, is this going to inspire you to get your minis done, or, you know?
Yeah, he basically made me feel guilty for not painting my minis. Like sitting there with his with the glasses and then the little clip-on extra magnifier on the glasses. Do I need one of those now?
Yeah. That was really stylish looking too. It wasn't like a piece of crap. That was like a little cyberpunky, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. His blue. By the way, Sydow does not get this mentioned about his career or himself ever, but he has insane blue eyes.
Oh yeah,
crazy blue eyes. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Like for a minute there, I was like, "Boy, put those inside of the head of Robert Redford, and then we'll destroy all men." Like, let's do it. Because holy crap, they were piercing. Couldn't believe it. I don't think I've ever noticed it. I've seen him in a million things.
Yeah.
Never no. once went
those
old.
Big, those big Coke bottle glasses he got on this time around.
Oh, maybe those. Yeah, they may have amplified it a little bit.
But, look at him.
Still handsome. Still works.
I mean, look. He's handsome, but he's not. I can take somebody at gunpoint and then have normal sex with them. Handsome, right? He's not that.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That is problematic, regardless of the decade, regardless of the film. That kind of stuff just sadly doesn't hold up.
No, and everything about that thing, just I could never accept it. Like I wanted to, because both the leads are acting great. I thought this was one of my favorite acting jobs that she's ever done. I don't normally gravitate toward her work, but I thought she was awesome in this. I really liked him in this. But this weird, impossible relationship that happens within the 3 days of the Condor.
Right.
And all the script needs to do is cause her to be the more of the pursuer as she's falling in love with him. Like you can have her be enthusiastically consenting to this, you know, right, by having him trying to get away from her, like him being apologetic and saying, you know, I've got to go. I really like you, but I can't, you know, like this is, and then having her like pull him back into the apartment or whatever. Like,
I there guess are so, ways. But if you're going to tie her to a toilet for 22 hours.
Right.
I don't know, man. Right.
Nothing makes me hornier than being tied to a toilet.
And let's go to the other side of things. I mean, something was definitely going on with he and his coworker, right? So he just finds her dead hours ago. And he's like hooking up with Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
There's nothing, you know, all of this is people really kind of do some of these things, but not to this extreme. And, you know, we were probably still fascinated with the idea of a hostage because we were really getting introduced as a society of hostages becoming sympathetic to their captors. So a lot of stuff was going on in her head at that time.
Right.
Yeah. But I think once you do the sex scene, it's like, okay, now we're talking about stuff we think about in modern terms.
And it was also a little saucy for what I was used to from the 70s, you know?
I couldn't figure out that sex scene. That sex scene was so interesting because they're trying to portray this confusion and portray, you know, I want this, but no, I don't. Should I be doing this? Like my boyfriend's waiting on me up in the, you know, in the Catskills or wherever he's at. And it's, I don't know if that was, really effective. Because I just felt like she was confused.
Right. And so in the end, you're supposed to wonder, are they going to get back together? Like, is she going to, but like you're left with this shot of his face. And of course he's looking back at the guy. He just kind of hoodwinked. And so it's really clever and fun, but you're supposed to also be thinking, now is the girl, is she glad to be away, to have gotten away, or is she on her way back to him? It's really hard to enjoy that question, right? How they came together is so, you know, fraught with violence.
This was that Casablanca moment, right? It was like, it's, you know, he's standing, he's got to leave. I can't say goodbye, but I got to.
But with Casablanca, she makes a decision. You know, in this movie, you don't know. You're supposed to wonder, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, obviously he leaves at the end and one assumes he's off to see her again because he's now controlling the narrative. He's not leaving New York. He's, you know, whatever. But then I guess that's what a non-existent sequel's for, which never happened.
I hope Kathy ran away and never looked back. I hope she's happy out there with her boyfriend that she cheated on.
Yeah.
I love her name was Kathy too. Just the most, no offense to Kathy's. I love Kathy's. Right. I have several Kathy's in my family, but I just can't think of a more, it'd be like having somebody be a Brian in a movie. It's just.
Right. It's not a super exotic name.
No.
It's
right.
You can trust a Kathy, but.
You can trust a Kathy. Oh, you can trust a Kathy, man.
But I worry because the way they portrayed her character, that if she ran away, like Randy said, she crossed the street too early, a car runs her over, and then within 4 hours, she's having sex with the owner of that car. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It feels like so it was just like, whatever I can get, I'll get it.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's every Hallmark Christmas movie.
Really. Yeah. Man, if one of those ever had an actual love scene, I would lose my mind. That would be so fun.
Well, no, there's a Lifetime one. We talked about this, didn't we? That Lifetime has its own, like, there's a new Lifetime Christmas movie with
it must be a new
with
one.
A sex scene. Yeah, it's brand new. There's like a lot of
They're trying something new.
They really are, because there is, I mean, that's what makes it unique, because there is a vast catalog of zero sexual anything in any of those movies. It's usually just, she's from the big city. He's a guy who owns a tree store. Blah, blah, blah.
He's stayed at home. He's secure and safe.
Yeah.
It's called A Cowboy Christmas Romance, and it's the first sex scene in a Lifetime Christmas movie.
Oh, wow. Subtitled Yeehaw, right?
Yeehaw, exactly.
Yeah. I may not be able to handle seeing that.
I'd love to. Oh, here we go. Adam Sen as the hunky rancher who catches Kramer's eye when she returns to her hometown to secure a real estate deal.
Oh my God.
You got my romance novel mixed in with your Christmas movie.
No. So what they did, they didn't do anything else new. They just added a sex scene. Okay.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You know, when you're experimenting, you just change one little thing to see what happens. You don't change everything.
That's true. You got to work your way up.
Like this.
Eventually, there'll be horror movies, and who knows what.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I'd love that. Oh, a Lifetime horror movie? That'd be great.
I'd be into it. Yeah, that'd be great. All right. Anything else before we move to the clips today?
Can you look at my notes? Porn music. I'm guessing you'd have some of that.
The horn porn music is amazing. You knew what you were about to watch. It's like, thank you, movie, for letting me know what I'm about to watch.
I call Ice Bullets bullshit. Yeah. I think Ice Bullet wouldn't be able to. It'll probably break the skin, but it probably.
That's part of the conspiracies that we're going about. The conspiracy.
Yeah, but I think. I feel like Mythbusters did one on that, and it didn't work at all. Like, it doesn't even leave the chamber.
Now that we know, like, in that moment in the very first scene, you don't know what in the world they're doing. What do they do there? What are they talking about? Looking back, were they actually just talking about a work of fiction with the Ice Bullet thing?
Listening in on another story going on. I didn't have the nerve to go back and watch it.
I thought they were saying, we don't know how it could have happened. And there was no bullet or casing found at the scene. And then he's in the other room listening. He says, bullets made of ice. They pour the ice into the thing pour the water, freeze it. And
But they study a bunch of, they've studied novels. Mm-hmm. And like, so I'm like,
maybe it's like a Dashiell Hammett thing or something.
Yeah,
like
that. Right. Yeah. Is that just them talking about fiction? Because
idea was that there is real spy shit hidden in the fiction. That's what they're looking for.
Right.
Because they're like, wait, why is this book suddenly in 14 languages and nobody bought it? And then that's a red flag. So then they dig deeper and find out, the prose on this chapter is actually instructional on how to kill the prime minister or whatever.
Do you see the look on my face when they ended up saying it was about oil? I was like, shocked. It was a shock that it was a mid-70s movie about intrigue and espionage in oil.
Get out.
I can't believe it. Well, it's because we're smack in the middle of the oil prices and we're
in
the shortage.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah.
Makes sense. Ripped from them days headlines.
Yep. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, well, let's do some actual clips now. We have a few here, and we have more than a few. We have a handful. Let's call it a handful.
Okay.
Let's start with this one, that freaking printer in the early scenes. Oh, I hated this thing.
I love it.
I hated it. It went on forever.
I've gone home.
I hated it. It was like, even 24 pin. It was like some kind of shit pin.
No, but it had to be loud enough that she wouldn't hear all the gunfire going on, and
They had silencers, I thought, but yeah.
Yeah, but they were still screaming, and hey, what are you doing in here?
Yeah. wait, let's talk about it. Wait, let's talk. Yeah. That would have been me. That's out of everybody that was in there, that would be me. Wait, let's talk. Wait a minute.
But now that you say it, I get it that she couldn't hear it, so therefore she didn't react. Yeah. That makes sense.
Any of you ever have a job where a machine makes a loud buzzing?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You go home, you hear it all night.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. It's the worst thing. It's like torture.
I worked at a press for a while that did printing, book printing, and that the sound of that machine, even now I can kind of conjure it. It's awful. Mm-hmm. It's not good for you. Wear earplugs, everybody, or at least noise canceling headphones. We live in the future. Do that.
Your head.
Yeah.
I worked in a laboratory with all these spectrometers, and they all buzzed, and I can still kind of hear it because it was nonstop. They never stopped running. Yeah,
it imprints in your head. I don't know how that actually works, but it does. You're right. All right, here's Biggins holding the baby. I just thought this was a weird thing.
Biggins, deputy director, I'm holding the baby. Go ahead.
I loved all their code talk.
Yeah, it's so much code
Biggins
talk.
With a baby.
Yeah. It's like, the package didn't get delivered. Well, we didn't have a signature for it.
There a return address? Is it still in New York? It's like, what? Wait a minute.
I love that. I'm sure some of that goes on. Like, that's feasible to think that even in modern times, if you're going to have clandestine conversations over monitored, phone ways, you would talk in code, so why not? Yeah. But I just don't understand. I'm holding the baby. What does that have to do with the rest of your package talk?
Right.
Biggins here. I'm holding the baby. Weird.
Oh, well, sorry. I'll call back later. Oh, it's a code word. Oh,
here's how you know it took place at Christmas. Here's this is a very thinking moment where he's eating a pretzel. That siren made my dog.
I almost could hear somebody in the background. So they was going, almost like somebody was making noises.
Well,
like
I did it. I don't know if that's what you're hearing.
Oh, is that you?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This is Brian Ibbett. it's your date to Brian about not using her real name. She couldn't understand. All right. And she also had a very manly voice, which I think is weird, but whatever, you can explain. Here's the clip.
How come I need a code name and you don't?
Yeah, she seemed real like...
That's true, yeah. She's very cagey about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was the last time I ever saw Parakeet.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, shit. All right, moving on. How about that? Oh, we did this already, but here it is again.
F*** the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, F that thing.
Totally true.
F that national rag. What? Oh, he reads for evasive moves.
Where did he learn evasive moves? He reads.
Yeah, he reads for them. That's how he learned his evasive moves. He reads everything.
He reads everything.
Everything!
Everything. That's why he's so damn smart. And we can't catch him.
That's right.
He's a reader.
Here is John Houseman earning it.
It's very well executed. Which requires planning, communications, tracks. I'm not asking... footprints, a blade of grass, a broken twig, something disturbed.
Yes, sir.
Jeez. All right. Yeah,
something.
I feel like they just wanted him talking. Like they just want, we've got this actor with this voice. We just need him talking. It doesn't matter what he says.
Yeah. No, it's true. They certainly didn't use him for a whole lot else. No. So, yeah.
Yeah. John Houseman, let's see. Where is he from?
Okay. All right. You're going to guess where he's from, and then I'm going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
I'm going to be wrong, I'm sure. He sounds like he may be British, but it's also very transatlantic. So I'm going to split between possibly British, maybe American. Where is he from?
So technically, he's Romanian.
What? Oh, really? Wow.
Interesting.
Would not have guessed that at all.
His parents were Welsh and Irish. And they were in Romania when he was born. So they raised him in England.
Wow.
And it looks like, sort of like north of London, but not North England, just like on the north side of London.
Mm. Okay. Looks like he died 86 or 88, but how old is he? Oh, 86. So he'd have been early 1900s born.
2 years before he made this film, apparently. Wow.
Yeah. 1902? Oh, no, it's about 10 years. 12, 14. He died 14 years after this movie.
So he's early 70s making this movie and feels right.
Yeah.
But Redford and Dunaway are 38 and 34
Who's 34? Dunaway?
Is 34? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she's 34. Robert Redford's 38. And I just can't square that. I never once felt like this is a 38-year-old talking to a 34-year-old.
Well, the good news is Faye Dunaway is nearly John Houseman's age now. So there's that.
Good times. And she's still living.
Yeah, she's still with us. Still with us. Faye Dunaway's still around. Robert Redford, of course, still here.
I know Max von Sydow died early on in the pandemic. We're not saying from what.
No.
And I know that because we looked him up a few weeks ago. But gosh, you'd think most of these people would be out of business, right? Like this is now a 50-year-old movie.
Von Sydow may have just died from being 90. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
He was 90. I don't think he's one of those guys I have to look at and go, "What happened to you during the pandemic?" Well, I turned out.
Yeah, he happened to die early in the pandemic.
Yeah. He just got cooler and cooler. You know, I know we've talked about him lately in fond terms, but I think Max von Sydow is one of the weirdest, coolest looking actors of all time.
I agree. Yeah.
His name in Game of Thrones was Three Eyed Raven. Sorry, I always forgot the name. Yeah.
If we can ever sack Shutter Island.
Let's do it.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Yeah. Okay.
Let's do it.
We did the island. We did the not Shutter
Island. Not Shutter Island. Correct. Shutter Island is the only Scorsese movie I've never seen.
Oh, really?
So we need to do it. Let's do it.
We definitely need to watch that then.
Yeah. Well, that and the new one. I haven't seen it yet, but I will when it comes out.
I'll bet I've got one more that you haven't seen, and it'll be in my December bonus episode.
It's not the Liam Neeson priest one, is it? Not the old priesty thing. Okay, nope. I saw that.
This is our 12th Von Sydow film that we've sacked, and
12?
He is rapidly approaching like Sylvester Stallone status.
That's crazy.
Can you name the 12 easily?
Oh yeah, Conan the Barbarian.
Okay,
Dreamscape, Dune, Flash Gordon.
Okay,
Flash Gordon.
Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd.
Okay.
Minority Report. Remember that?
Right, right.
Bit role in The Force Awakens, which we sacked when it came out.
Yeah.
Strange Brew.
Okay.
The Exorcist a month ago. And then also Ice Pirates. He was in The Ice Pirates.
Oh my gosh, dude. Right. Forgot half of that. And Strange Brew, I shouldn't forget. I made a gif out of him shutting that beer hole.
Yeah. Right. I totally forgot about Strange Brew.
Yeah. He's like the big baddie in that. What a career. Also,
he would take whatever role. I mean, when you find yourself in Dune and Judge Dredd and like he'll do whatever.
Yeah, he's down to
guess
clown.
What? Yeah. Guess what? He's an actor.
Yeah.
That's
what
you do.
Yeah. You pay the bills. It's what you do.
Pay the bills. Yeah.
Here's John Houseman pronouncing this wrong.
Homosexual.
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 Uh-huh. I thought he said I'm a sexual. Okay, I didn't know he was saying homosexual. It
did sound like that at first.
He wanted to find out if Redford's character, they were trying to find out dirt on him. And of course, in the 70s, that would have been considered dirt. So here's some top shelf acting.
15 and a half, 34. I dig 15 and a half 34s. What size are you?
What are you, a clown?
I'm scared.
So am I.
What are you scared for? You've got the gun.
Yes.
Oh, man, those two. Some angry.
Are you a clown?
Yeah.
You could just see the chemistry right from that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Great Faye Dunaway bonk sound. So when they're wrestling and he's trying to get her strapped to the toilet, this is the sound she makes. I like that. It's a good one.
Oh, what?
I know. It's a real weird one. It was all done in post, you could tell, but I don't know what's happening there. Anyway, here's Happy Birthday to Grandpa. Whoops, where is it?
Happy Birthday to Grandpa.
All right. The reason I played that.
What a weird cameo for that kid just getting on elevator for no reason. Yeah. What the hell so ever.
Yeah. Nobody asked me what grossed me out today because nothing really is gross, so I don't blame you.
Yeah, but I couldn't find anything. So
I'll tell you what grossed me out. That guy pushing all the buttons. F that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I hate that. People that get in elevators and just go, if you're not three, then you're dead.
Or Buddy the Elf.
Yeah, or Buddy the Elf. Right. That's fine.
Someone with the mental capacity of three, which I think this guy was.
Happy birthday to Grandpa. Now, Ibby, you're going to think I'm lying, but I literally watched Elf yesterday, too.
Oh, stop
the
it.
Kids.
Yeah. Well, I believe it.
That has to happen. It's tis the season.
It's when Van loves it. He was like, we got to watch Elf. I'm like, all right, we're watching Elf. So we watched it. All right. Today it rained.
I don't remember yesterday. Today it rained.
All right. This is a weird thing to say. It's a weird thing to say because he was saying, or she asked him some question about what's it like finding out they're after you or something. And he said that. Yeah. It's just a weird thing to say. All right. Here's the sound when he was fighting the fake delivery man. They kept making this noise.
Poo. Yes. Poo. Yeah, I heard that. Like, and it was Redford. It was like he would get hit in the stomach every time, but he wasn't always getting hit in the stomach.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
And
yeah,
even if I you do, that. Who goes when they get hit in the stomach? Nobody. Like, it was a bad sound effect. It's a terrible choice. It's terrible. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Poo.
That fight scene was hilarious, though. I loved it.
Every minute. All right. It. He hit that mantelpiece twice.
Yeah.
Absolutely ripped the apartment apart. Like, totally. I was surprised that Kathy doesn't come in and start complaining. Like, what are you doing? Yes. Look at, stop it.
Totally. Yeah.
I was half expecting Robert Redford to like hit something and then a box full of photos falls out and he kind of stops the fight and looks at him.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's your pudendum. Yeah.
Oh,
no, that would have been great because then you would have distracted the fake delivery man and then that would have been his time to punch him.
Or maybe he finds him even better. That's what distracts the delivery guy. He goes, oh, shnikes. What is that? There's a
Naked Gun or something. What was the fight scene that's interrupted by someone coming out in their nightgown or something like that? And both of them stop.
Comedy classic.
What was that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it probably was one of those Hot Shots like part that's what it was or and, something. Yeah. All right. Strong like farmer.
Strong like a farmer.
Uh-huh. Strong like a farmer. Here's some computer nonsense.
G, carriage return, TRS. Tone, symbol for number.
Computer is ready.
Yep, computer's all set
symbol
now.
Symbol for number, boy.
I didn't understand.
We've saved so much time with hashtag, haven't we?
I know, and I didn't understand. Ouch. Was it supposed to be a voice recognition system on the other side, or was it supposed to be just some person waiting for somebody to call?
They made him sound robotic a little bit, but I wasn't sure. It was hard to tell.
It sounded like a real dude who responded, but yeah, like it was supposed to be like, all right, I'm going to send in some JavaScript and have you run
here's
it for
a,
me.
Here's a job that we're all glad to give to AI, being some guy on the other end of the phone.
Totally. Yeah,
take that job. That'd be fine. Yeah. And shove it. By the way, as a symbol for, you know, the pound sign, I always thought you could just say pound sign. So why didn't he say pound sign back then?
Yeah, because that was back then. Yeah. We're Octothorpe. Yeah.
Octothorpe? Holy shit.
Octothorpe. Wow.
He should have said Octothorpe.
Because it's got eight legs. It's like an octopus. Octothorpe.
Punani? No, wait. What'd you call it?
Addendum. Punani's even better.
I think that's what Cardi B calls it.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Put your thumb in front of the hammer.
Put your thumb in front of the hammer.
What was that about? Oh, the gun.
That's just a
gun.
Stop the, yeah. Yeah, uncock the gun.
Just for the argument. Oh, this is fun. Check it out.
Let's say, for the purposes of argument, I had a .45 in one of my pockets.
Yeah, let's just say,
for the purposes of argument, I don't know why I've never heard it phrased like that. For the sake of argument, let's say da-da-da. But for the purposes of argument, and it makes you think about how dumb that phrase is.
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to start an argument. Let me start by saying I've got a gun in my pocket.
Yeah.
Now you go.
That is a weird, you're right. It helped deconstruct it, and it stuck with me. I was like, wait a minute, you don't say it that way, and also, why are we saying anything about that?
Exactly. Why say that at all?
Yeah. But when you hear sake of argument, it's fine.
It blows right by you and you don't think about it. It's like, wait a minute, are you trying to start an argument with me?
When you don't have cell phones in your hand, I guess you got a lot of time to prepare for witty things to say when you finally come across somebody. How am I going to say this when it comes up? I know.
Sure. I guess so.
So like the pinnacle of that in the movie is when he goes to get lunch while his coworkers are all getting killed. He bursts into a diner and then he has ritty repartee with a guy making sandwiches and some dude sitting there eating a sandwich.
Yep.
And it's too much. It's encyclopedic talk, right? Mm-hmm. And like, it made me think about the script and words on the page. And you shouldn't do that to the person watching.
Also, this person,
when everybody starts speaking the same way, you're like, okay, this is coming from a single writer. Yeah. And you become very aware of the writing.
And when she sat, that's the other thing that bugged me. She was strapped to a toilet, fearing for her very life. This man she doesn't know, all this stuff. This roller coaster. Then she has sex with him. Then he sends her to a restaurant to interface with this very dangerous government dude. And she acts like she's been a spy her whole life.
Right. Yes.
Come on, man. Well, come on.
Can I just say
a lot of stuff? I guess we were a lot more accepting back in the 70s.
Must have been.
If I could just, if you're going to tie me up, make me a hostage, put me on the toilet. That's the best you can do. That really is.
That's
the
true,
best.
I guess.
That's the yeah. best. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think where you would strap me in this house.
It'd be better to be on the toilet. That way there's no. Yeah. That's just the best
strap
place
me to
be.
My office chair. So at least I can do my, you finish my to-do list.
Yeah.
Like, get me, you know, let me get some stuff done while you're going to go out and,
or, you know,
while you're doing that and pooping your pants,
right.
I'm going to be on the toilet.
Yeah. I get Dunaway's point. Like, if you need to take a dump, you need to be where the dump happens,
right.
But also maybe scooch a little desk up to it, and then you can get your
there we done. Go. Yeah, the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I like that. Here's Uncle Ben saying food.
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 Food. Food.
Yeah, food. And then also...
great toilet.
He also has a name for Robert Redford.
Oh, you poor dumb son of a bitch.
Wow.
Ah,
wow.
Yes. Wow.
I don't know.
I think that was actually from Spider-Man, and it's when Peter Parker shows back up and, you've been shot, you poor dumb son of a bitch.
It's like, with great great power comes great responsibility, and then with great responsibility comes a great insult. That's how it works.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you poor dumb son of a bitch. All right, here is the way this movie ended actually gave me the frickin' creeps. And I'll play it. This is the audio from it. This, to me, is the essence of all things in the 70s that freaked me out.
Okay.
It's all about discordance. This happened in lots of movies as a kid. I don't know why this just rang with me as to what makes a 70s movie stand out when you're trying to make me uncomfortable. And here it is.
Yeah.
And that weird hummy thing at the end. Like, and then they roll credits. Yeah. Like, dang it. What are you doing to me? What are you trying to do?
I didn't think about it at the time. It disturbed me at the time as being like a, I don't know, like it felt like a horror movie ending kind of thing. But is it like, was it the precursor to The Sopranos' Don't Stop Believin'?
Oh,
like,
wow.
Did he get offed right there at that moment? That's what we're supposed to wonder.
Yeah, at least with The Sopranos thing, the music literally stops and there's no reverberation.
Yeah. No echo left over.
Yeah, they just give me the freaking willies. I don't like it. Yeah.
Loved it.
But I do like our checklist. That's right. It's time for the Film Sack checklist. Robert Redford is impossibly attractive and not fair to the rest of us. Check.
Yeah.
Uncle Ben can really rock a fur lapelled overcoat and hat. Check.
Yeah.
And finally,
the cuts in this movie were gorgeous.
It's just unbelievable. I can't stop fretting about how Robert Redford's character is getting dressed in these gorgeous outfits.
Yeah.
And it's different. He doesn't wear the same clothes throughout the whole movie, which he really should.
No.
If you wanted to.
It's all shit from her closet, man. All that weird, all those clothes she was yelling about. And then finally, kidnap victims turns into a willing sex partner in about 22 hours. Check. Star Trek connections. There's got to be some here.
Nope, not even a sausage.
Oh my
gosh!
The closest
thing I could come up with was 2 degrees of separation. You can always find those, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, Cliff Robertson was in Escape from LA with Michelle Forbes, who you know is Ensign Rowe, but 1 degree? Nope, nothing. Not even cast crew looked at everything. There's no evidence that anyone here ever made Star Trek.
I wouldn't, if you just said Cliff Robertson was in Star Trek, I would have believed you because it just seems like the guy would be in there. You know, like there's some episode of TNG
like he was in
where
everything
he,
else at the time.
Yeah, he's like a guy that runs some space station far away, and Picard tells him he needs to leave, and he won't leave. I got a whole story in my head about it. I'm just making it up. Let's move on to soundtrack grade. I give it an S for sexy. It's very sexy.
Yeah, very sexy. Horny.
So
very
much.
Horny.
Oh, horns.
So
you mean horns.
Horny.
Very porny.
Horny and some sax. So you had a little horny sexy, and it was a good time.
I'm always going to wonder if that's if we call that porn music because someone called it porn music, or if it's actually because that's the style of music used in X-rated films.
When they started, right? Because you're talking about the mid-70s when that became, not mainstream, but, you know, porn became.
But do you know what I mean? It could have been that someone just started saying it, and we all just went with it. Oh, that's
what
because
I don't know what any of that stuff sounds like. So that's
no,
what
you've
I
never heard any
going.
Of it, none of that music before. Yeah.
What's a pedendum?
Tina's not listening. Come on.
I would like to add a pedendum to today's meeting. That's what it sounds like to me.
Please step up to the pedendum and
that's right.
Give your oration.
That's right. Your oration the original, on the pedendum. Yes.
The original music in this thing was composed by Dave Grusin. He is. Yeah, Dave Grusin.
We had Dave Grusin last week.
Did we really?
Just last week.
What was last
Backdraft.
Week?
Backdraft was had Dave Grusin.
Oh, no way.
That's right.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
Right.
Same guy? Whoa. Or different.
Are you looking at last week's notes?
No, not at all.
Dave Grusin did the music 2 weeks in a row? That's nuts.
That's crazy. That's great, though. Yeah. Congratulations, Dave Grusin.
There's CIA in the CIA. I knew it.
The Grusin family for what you've done.
He's still alive and working.
Yeah.
He's gotten a few credits over the last decade. Nothing really, not a really big deal. He's really more of a conductor and a pianist than a composer, but.
He's a jazz, like a light jazz dude. I actually have somewhere in my library. I do have a Dave Grusin album. That's just non-soundtrack music.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk? Let's move on to the social media post. This is where you guys sum up this shit in 280 characters or less. And I'm holding you to it. Let's start with Randy.
3 days of the Condor. Working in a highly secure place. Secretary keeps a gun up front. Boss is really old and on your case. Everyone around you is so blunt. Those machines can make a bad, rotten buzz. Don't ever risk your life on just a hunch. Best advice I've ever gotten was... always be the guy who goes for lunch.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Saved his life.
I really wanted to snap my fingers this week. I just really
for this
little beat poetry.
Yeah,
poetry
felt very beat doing. This week.
Yeah, very
little, a little bonga drum, a congo drum in the background there.
I like it. Yeah. Can we all wear berets and black turtlenecks? Are we allowed?
Sure, absolutely. Okay.
Smoking fancy jazz cigarettes.
Ooh. I accept your compliments. Thank you.
That's good.
It was meant that way.
It absolutely was. Let's now dive over to Brian Dunaway.
Oh, 3 days of the Condor. Like using a group of urban kids as human shields, this movie holds the hell up. Hashtag hostage sex is probably not rape.
Probably not.
Probably not.
This movie says probably not.
It really was. It was like the hardest part to swallow.
The entire film, it's the most. I'll even take your ice bullets over that.
Yeah.
I'll believe right. that first. Right. It just didn't
seem
right.
I was kind of on his side the whole time, his character's side, until he actually went down to the hotel lobby and was like, hey, I know how to get out of this. I'll bribe these young people into going outside and being my human shield.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, oh, I can't go
five
there.
Bucks, $5?
$5?
Come on, yeah. $5?
They're all like, $5? That sounds great. Let's go. $5.
This is 70s. $5. That'll get me like a gallon of gas. Let's go.
It's crazy how into the $5 they were.
They were.
Brian Ibbett, we finish with you.
I'm going to go get a footlong at Subway. 3 days of the Condor. $5 footlong. That's what I was going with.
Oh, I get
it. A movie about a frustrated assassin who gets crank calls from the Audubon Society. I don't know. I just read books. Hashtag no, I don't.
No, I don't.
That's very good. Also, a footlong sounds all right now.
It kind of does.
Kind of hungry. Yeah. We'll see what happens after the show. All right. Let's get to this alternate title selection. It was almost called Condor Man.
Yeah, it's another one we need to put on the list.
Yeah, it felt like Condor Man.
Disney sued him, so they had to go with something else. They almost got called 3 days of being Sean Bean in Gondor, and I don't know what I was thinking last night when I wrote that, so just ignore it.
Yeah.
I think it's because Condor and Gondor, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what I was doing. All right, moving on to an email. We got an email from Jeff, and Jeff wrote in something interesting. I really like this idea. Greetings, gents. Something to put on your list for your roundtables. Director's cuts. For, against, or variable? It says Blade Runner Final Cut is far superior. Star Wars Special Editions are far inferior. What of Dune? According to Villeneuve, or however you say his name, he made the movie he wanted, but I heard there is at least another hour of footage, which I would very much like to see because I want more Dune.
Literally what we decided we were going to do our next discussion episode on. So I'm fascinated by how this lines up with
Exactly.
our planning last week.
Yeah, he goes, could add context to Dr. Yu's betrayal, and anything more with Rebecca Ferguson is a plus in my book. I even like Lynch's Dune and the 3.5-hour Alan Smithy cut.
Yes.
A name used when you edit out the release of the director. We know what that is. Anyway, just a potential for further discussions. Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays, says Jeff. P.S. Don't rush to watch Parasite, Scott. It's overrated. Sorry, Brian.
Oh, snap.
I mean, he really added that. That isn't me making that up.
No, I totally believe it.
Yeah.
It's fine. Hey, look, it's not for everybody. If you didn't like it, you didn't like it.
Sure, fair enough. The reason I put this one in here is we literally talked about this idea and are going to do this idea. I'm glad he brought some of these extra stuff to the table because I think it'd be fun to throw into that mix, not just ones that are good, what makes them good or bad, but which ones do we want to see, you know?
For sure. And also, I want to find one of us who disagrees with the rest on things, right? So, like, what if the extended editions of The Lord of the Rings are too much for you? I want to hear about that.
Well, you found him because I do not like the extended editions of Lord of the Rings.
We'll get into it.
Okay. I like the short
ones. Let's get into it.
Thank you for that. We also got a couple of texts. Here's a quick one from John H., who says, longtime listener to this and other Frog Pants shows. Finally got my Patreon account fixed, and I am subscribed. Well, thank you so much for that.
Oh, nice.
I wanted to recommend a show that I think is very sackable. I think he means movie. I checked the archive, and I'm pretty sure you have not done it yet. Screamers. Peter Weller from RoboCop. Ooh. Semi-sentient robot killing machines that zip around underground like something out of Tremora. Future War, painfully awkward romance, B-story. So much about this movie is sackable. I hope you get to see it, says John H.
We didn't watch Screamers?
No. Okay.
No.
We've done Skinners.
Sounds familiar, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
Not Skinners. Mm-hmm. What's the one we did see where the guy's
head exploded? We've seen Scanners.
Scanners. That's something.
Scanners. Yeah,
Scanners.
I don't know why I said Skinners.
Skinners!
I saw Thinner.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's good, too.
That might be what I'm thinking, too. But no, Peter Weller... I think our only Peter Weller movie has been RoboCop, unless I could be wrong on that.
Did you just call him RoboCop?
RoboCop.
You know
RoboCop.
What I did? That character
exists. When you need a friend, call RoboCop.
That character exists in that game. What's that game called where you have
the
Broforce? Yeah, he's called RoboCop. No,
get out of here.
Yeah, it's great.
Did we sack Leviathan?
No.
We sacked everything but Leviathan.
Yeah, exactly.
We sacked all the
Deep Blue
ones
Sea
that are like
and everything else that's like it.
All those movies about underwater sea creatures we've done except
that and the Meg. We haven't done the Meg.
Oh, let's never do the Meg. No, don't do the Meg ever. The Meg is bad. I saw it in theaters. I know we'll do bad movies here. That movie is a separate kind of bad.
Really?
I hated the Meg. Hated it. Oh my gosh.
I actually thought it was.
I'll tell you what, Dunaway, if we're making you do a beach blanket movie, I'll do the Meg.
Yeah, right.
That's fair, right? That's a trade.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Totally fair. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess.
The Meg is bad.
There are so many Peter Weller films that have a picture of him and some woman on the poster. It's just
it's his contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's his deal.
Yeah.
I'm
going to need a woman behind me.
Yeah. Drop her weapon. All right, let's move on. We got this final thing. This is to Brian Ibbett. There is no name attached to this text. It says, hey, didn't Brian used to sing his intros live before pre-recording them?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and bringing it back.
And I'd like to, ask the question to this person who wrote in, do you feel like they're better now that I'm able to put some production quality into them?
And I would actually.
No,
yes, I like them with the production stuff.
So for fidgety Ibbots. No, I'm just kidding.
Fidgety Ibbots.
Yeah.
I just want to always ask the question, do you think karaoke is objectively better than radio? And like, yeah. It's up to you.
I mean, if you're drunk and doing it.
Wow. Yeah, sure. I've never thought to compare those two things.
Yeah.
There are people who go to karaoke and they think it's the best entertainment of their lives. And it's great.
Sure. Yeah, but it's usually because they're artificially sauced up on something usually, right? Like, that's the part of the fun.
We've seen them all. We've seen them all laughing.
The audience is drunk. Yeah. You're drunk. Yeah, it's a good time.
It's the best time of your life. I think that's a requirement. You need the lubricant. You need the lube to have a good time.
The social lubricant.
That's right.
The drink.
For those who are like, Wayne, how do these people write in? I can tell you. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address. And you can also text us like these other two folks did, 801-471-0462. Voicemails are also welcome there if you prefer. Want to thank some patrons who have been awesome, loyal folks for a very long time. Anthony Morales, Jeffrey Duddles, and Jason. All three of you are part of a big, happy family of Patreon supporters on FilmSack, and we love you. Please tell your friends, invite your family, get other people in there because it only helps the show grow. When you do that, you'll never get commercials. You'll get pre-show content every week, monthly specials from the hosts. What are we doing in December? Who's on? Who's up?
It's me.
It's you. It's me. That's right. You said earlier, you're working on a thing about a movie. So that's coming soon from Brian Ibbett sometime during this month. So watch for that. But also a movie-related art print in the mail. A bunch of you are just now probably getting my my Kroll glaive that I did.
Oh, yeah.
So watch for that. Other great benefits you just can find all about yourself by going to patreon.com/filmsack. Our next movie is going to be... What?
Tim Burton's Batman Returns.
It's also a Christmas set film, right?
Yeah.
With Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, and you got your...
And Simone from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Who else in there? We got your Danny DeVito.
Yeah, Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken is the mayor.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer's in it. Oh, man, I finally tried to watch Mother.
What'd you think? It's kind of
Michelle Pfeiffer's in that. I hated her character so much.
Oh, well, you're supposed to, right?
I know. That's the point
you're
of the movie.
You're supposed to hate everybody in that film except for Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. And it's, boy, is it good at doing that.
Yeah.
I didn't quite finish it. I will probably go back, but about halfway through, I had to bail because
it's a struggle. It is a struggle. I liked it, but I don't know if I could go back and watch it.
No, it's for me definitely not a to watch movie. No. It's like, okay, I watched that. It's a very interesting commentary. Very heavy handed, but I get it.
That makes two Aronofsky movies I can never see twice. That and Requiem for a Dream. I can't do that again.
Yeah,
I'm done there. That's the last. I mean, you know what? Even thinking about Requiem for a Dream, it makes me want to go watch Labyrinth just so I can get a proper
brain bleach.
Yeah. Sure. Watch Jennifer Connelly in her natural state. Anyway, right. So there's that. We'll watch that next
Batman
week.
Returns.
Where's that streaming, Max?
It's on HBO Max.
Okay. All right. I keep hearing, speaking of Batman, real quick, there's a little side thing. I keep hearing Merry Little Batman, this animated Christmas movie.
It looks so good.
It's on Prime right now.
Yeah.
And you might say, wait, Prime? Why? That's not Max, because isn't Max Warner Brothers and all that? For some reason, nobody can figure this out. Max passed on their own property they own.
Wow.
And
it's a different take, though. It's a very different type of animation that you wouldn't expect from.
I think they missed out. Really? This thing has gone viral. People love it.
Love it. I
think Max screwed up. Yeah, it's supposed to be really good. It's goofy as hell, and it's up on
full movie, or is it like a 30-minute deal, or what is it?
I don't know the length on it.
I don't know the length either.
But I think probably I'm guessing like 90 minutes or something. If I had to guess.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't understand it either, Scott. Why would a streaming service sell something to another streaming service?
Yeah.
That they already
are. Well, Max is like loving doing that right now.
Like if Disney asked someone for money for Dial of Destiny, you know, like why would you do that?
Well, I think they will do that eventually, occasionally, with like Netflix will buy stuff from Disney and others, or buy the rights to play them in the same way that Max buys the rights to buy films from them, from Disney and others. But that's the trick, right? That's the big difference. And so what you're seeing right now is Max is if you go over to Netflix, you'll notice there's like 30 new movies all from Max on Netflix. Yeah. And it's because Max is trying like mad every way they can to recover their $2 billion
in debt. Max has changed ownership recently, or management, under new management. And they've made some many different decisions. Animation getting suffered.
I mean, Zaslav claims it's all to get the numbers right, but whatever, man, you're sacrificing everything for everything. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
Get that going. Get that fixed.
This is the time of the year when I go watch Christmas episodes of my favorite comedy TV shows, which means I am all over Hulu. Hulu's got them all.
Hulu has everything.
Right.
Yeah. Which is to say Disney has everything, because now they have the controlling stake, and it's now they're talking about moving Hulu under the Disney.
Watch Hulu through Disney now. Yeah,
they're going to put it in there and eventually shut down Hulu and just have it be a section in Disney, which is weird.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're at a strange time, everybody. The streaming services are all having a moment. Anyway, that's next week, and I can't wait for it. Until then, filmsack.com is our website. You can use that all the time and find all the things we talked about here today and all the links you need and all that stuff. So go check it out, filmsack.com. Again, patreon.com/filmsack. And give us reviews wherever you get your shows. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I hope so.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Happy birthday to Grandpa. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.